Well, you know something else? They really don't like the parables of Jesus. Jesus is still giving parables, folks. And he's backing them up in an awful lot of scripture, so you'll know that they're true. But the Pharisees still hate those parables of Jesus. And he's telling us things that are very, you know, important in our day, you know. What day is it? Well, that's why you need dreams and visions and prophecies and things, you know. Where are you right now? That's why you need these things. Well, I can tell you what's coming very quickly is an end-time harvest. And Bill Steenland had this revelation. And I believe it's all about forsaking all to follow Jesus because the harvest is upon us. He wants to get ready for this. It's almost upon us. And Bill said, I dreamed that I was at my dad's back house. He said there were two houses on the property, front and back. I was at the dinner table with my brother, Jim, and my dad. They were talking about all the remodeling and additions they were doing on the house. My brother, Jim, kept saying, my house, like it was all his and not mine as well. My dad said something about not walking past him when I was in the back house. I felt sad in the dream and got up and left. I was sorry about my loss and considered it counting the cost of losing my earthly natural inheritance. Yes, and many will be called upon by God to walk away from their natural inheritance in order to have His inheritance, which is much greater, and it's eternal. Be ready to do that, saints. As a matter of fact, get light. I've told you that before because the Lord has told me that before. Get light. Because soon you won't be able to get rid of things and they'll be useless. And you'll squander your inheritance by doing that. You'll squander your reward by doing that. Okay? So here's a verse that Bill came with, and I added quite a few to it. Luke 14:26. If any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Notice, he's talking about hating the life of the mother, father, wife, all the natural, everything that is natural and of the world. He's talking about hating it. And as you know, when you come into the kingdom, you do that. You do not like the old ways of the world, even in your family. You do not like it. It is their enemy. It is your enemy. And, of course, this means to hate their psuche, or soulish lives. And, by the way, their loves, including the things of the world. You know, if your love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. So you got to be willing to sell out and meet the needs of people around you. Store up your treasures in heaven and go with Jesus. Get ready. And, of course, he goes on, if he doesn't hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, he says. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower, and the Lord showed me that tower one time, by the way, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it. The cost to be a disciple and to build the tower is that we must give up ownership and become stewards of all that God has in our hands. A steward is just a handler. You just handle it for the Lord. You go to Him to find out what to do with it. It's not like under the law of the tithe and so on and so forth. It ain't nothing like that. That's not New Testament. This is New Testament. Luke 14:33. So therefore, whosoever be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, renounceth not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. There's your cost right there. You have to renounce ownership and become a steward. It all belongs to God. Not 90% of it belongs to you and 10% to God. No, that's not true. That was the old covenant. Jesus said it was. Matthew 23:23. And Matthew 19:27. But then answered Peter and said unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And of course Jesus said, And every one that hath left houses, just like Bill in this revelation here, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake. Will we be called to do that? Some people try to shame you because you've left them somewhere, because most likely they wouldn't follow you anyway, right? Well, be ready to leave when the Lord calls. Be obedient. Your kingdom is not of this world. Your family is not of this world. These people, you pray for them, you love them, you want them to come into the kingdom, but you need God's favor for them to come into the kingdom. And if you're going to have God's favor, you got to follow Him. Alright? So, I'll read that again. Everyone that hath left houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or children, lands, see that? Lands, houses, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. Oh, he said that's a condition of it, to inherit eternal life. See it? But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. Well, that makes sense. Those who put themselves last will be first with God. And those who put themselves first will be last with God, right? Remember that. It's taking up your cross and following Jesus. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes what you leave behind hurts, or sometimes what you sell to give away hurts. In Mark 10:21, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. That's the rich young ruler. And said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Now we think, oh, that was just for him. No. Go sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. This is so true. This is what the Bible says. You will have treasure in heaven. And it doesn't fail. Store up your treasures on earth. Thieves and rust and moths will break through and steal. But store it up in heaven. It's a treasure that will never fail you. You know. Because, and also where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you have your treasures on earth, that's where your heart will be. Jesus said so. Now Jesus speaking this was the man child of his day. And he said to this man, and at the time of the man child, one thing thou lackest, go sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. See, saints, it's over. the party in the world is over. It's all going down the drain now. Okay. Those who don't redeem the value of their natural inheritance and give it to the needy will lose it, and their reward will be lost. You know, hate to leave something just to rot, or for the government to take it, or for the bums to move in. It doesn't matter if you give it away to anybody who has a need, you know. But do something with it. Get ready. Follow the Lord. He will tell you what to do. Ask him, Lord, what? See, remember, you're a steward. Ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do with this that belongs to you? And he'll tell you. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. He couldn't follow the Lord because of his possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus said, Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Matthew 16:24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever should save his life, and it's talking about, again, the soulish or selfish, suke life, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? He must give his soulish life for his life with God. That's the word. And Mark 1 and 17 says, And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they left the nets. That was their livelihood. They left their jobs and followed him. The time is coming very, very quickly. And we're watching God prepare the world to be a wilderness for God's people. And Bill said, As I was walking up the trail to the front house, the big house in the front, I said, Father, if there's anything in my heart that is looking back or caring about an earthly inheritance, would you please take it out of me? Well, now that is the right response to what God has said here. In 1 John 2 and 15, it says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't be the bride. Notice, love the world and be last. Love the Father and be first. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doing the will of God. Now Jesus revealed to us the will of God when he walked with his disciples and he taught them. And that is exactly what he's going to teach in these days. And we see the world and its fortunes passing away. And of course they think it's momentary, but it's not. And what will you do if you do not exchange your kingdom for God's kingdom? Everything else that can be shaken is going to pass away. Amen? The fortunes of the world are passing away. Might as well hear from the Lord, do something about it. Let it count for something in the kingdom of heaven. Store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves can't break through and steal, and where it'll be there for you when you call for it. Because whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. You know, given it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Right? So that means you can get it when you need it. Just make sure you're meeting the needs of the brethren around you. Anyway, back to Bill. He said, I felt at peace as I walked to the front house. And I call this a promotion to the Father's house, which has prominence over the old house in the back of the line. And in the Father's house, every need is supplied. Bill said, When I got in the house, it was much bigger. And it had been modified. Excuse me, I didn't say modified. Remodeled. Remodeling is necessary to meet the needs of the coming great revival. Bill said, Oh boy, I haven't gotten a chance to enjoy this. Well, not yet, but soon. And it's coming. As I walked further into the house, I saw my brother Jimmy's girlfriend, Jessica, cooking food on the stove. And having read the rest of the revelation here, I believe this is talking about spiritual food that's being prepared to feed the souls in this harvest. I followed her into the next room, and to my amazement, the back end of the house was a giant pool of water with a connection to the ocean. Notice that, a giant pool of water that's connected to the ocean. Well, the giant pool of water is the word that's being prepared in the Father's house to go to the ocean, representing peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Revelation 17 and 15, The waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. A great revival, by the way, is coming out of the harlot. Not only people coming out of the world who've never been in that, but the harlot herself, a great revival. He says, come out of her, my people, and have no fellowship with their sins. Right? Where's this people coming out of? They're coming out of the harlot. The overwhelming majority are there now. And this all points to a world outpouring and revival. Bill said the giant pool was so large that you could fit multiple boats and was more like a shipping warehouse for boats than a house. Aha, what do you think that's all about? I'll tell you what I felt the Lord showed me. He said many boats are being prepared to send out many fishers of men with spiritual food of the true gospel. That's just like Jessica there, preparing the food, getting the food ready. And there's the pool, and there's the pool going into the ocean, right? Well, a big pool, ocean's big. But I tell you what, when revival spreads, it spreads geometrically. I mean, you go out and you talk to one person, that revival spreads, and then they go to 10 more, and then they go to 10 more, and before you know it, you know, you have covered the globe with the gospel, which, by the way, hasn't ever happened, but it's going to happen in these days. Who's going to do that? Well, you know how revival spreads, supernatural signs and wonders. That's what's coming, folks. And Joseph's grain bins are almost ready for the 7 years of famine. And Satan and his minions have been trying to stop this gospel material with a slander war, but it will fail. It will fail to hinder the righteous. It will hinder the wicked, and it will take them out. But it will fail to hinder the elect of God. This is all a test to see who's who. Praise be to God. And I'm feeling the victory in Jesus, folks. It's awesome what God's about to do. Nobody can stop it. Let's see. Bill said, I got onto the boat with Jessica, who is called Jesse. And then he puts a note here. Jesse is in the genealogy of Jesus. Ooh, that's a good point, Bill. And I think, you know, of course, Jesse there was a man, but Jesse here is a woman because it's a corporate body. And she is a type of the bride who brings forth the man child David's of our day and feeds the church. So that kind of fits. In Matthew 1 and 6 it says, and Jesse begat David, the king. And this all speaks of a far greater inheritance in the line of David slash Jesus than the natural one that we leave behind. This is an eternal inheritance. This revival, folks, you don't have any need to drag a bunch of stuff around behind you. You know, this revival is going to be for people to walk light and do what is most important, right? If you only got a few years left, what is important? Souls coming into the kingdom, souls being stabilized and walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, etc., etc. And I was asking her about the advancements and how deep the water is. And as I stood right behind her, as if I was very close to her in a friendly way, and he got Isaiah 11 and 1, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. David was the stock of Jesse. And a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the root is Jesus. Revelation 22 and 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things for the churches, and I am the root and the offspring of David. Hey, he's the root, Jesus. He's the offspring of David, the branch, and the branch is the man-child in our day. Ain't that neat? People don't know Jesus is coming as the branch, as the man-child. The bright morning star. Jesus is the root and the end time branch of the man child. Jeremiah 23:1, woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. Yeah, faction, division, denominationalism, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. God is going to judge this wicked Christian, quote-unquote, system. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. Now we're going to have a great revival. They shall be fruitful and multiply. Ooh, glory be to God. That's what we're looking forward to. And I will set up shepherds over them, shepherds, plural, who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, says the Lord. That is the true sheep, right? Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah our, notice they're a corporate body, righteousness. It's a corporate body branch of people. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is in this body, this branch. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Oh, judgment. Yep. The white horse rider. And with breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Jesus is coming in his first fruits to raise up disciples and send them forth to bring in the great harvest. Ooh. I was looking at the port that was obviously used for sending ships out, and I knew that this ship would be sent out one day, maybe soon. And the boat reminded me of the oyster boat my brother used to work on at the bay. Bill said, this represents evangelism, the harvest at the end of the world. And he gives Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad they cast away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the righteous, which this is happening now, and it's going to increase, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So, since Bill here is at local UBM, it appears that he will be in on the beginning of this revival, as another dream shows that I shared with you some time back. That was Charlie Smith's dream about a revival beginning at local UBM. And Charlie said, this dream is concerning revival with us here where we live. I was asking the Lord if I would or if I could be used in some way in these last days. And I finished the prayer and went to bed. The next night, in the early hours of the morning, the Lord gave me this dream. In it, suddenly, I appeared in a large room where I saw Brother David and about 10 or 12 brethren standing around. I knew David, but his features had changed some. I mean, he really looked great. Hey, you don't think I look great now, Charlie? What's the matter with you? I mean, he really looked great. I could really see God in the man like I've never have before. He should say, more than I ever have before, right? David here is a type of Jesus in the man-child David ministry. And he's there by his Spirit and Word. which will start this revival, just as Jesus, the son of David, did in his time. History is repeating. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Remember that. These days have to repeat history, or the Bible is wrong. Okay? And I knew him, but the other brethren I did not recognize, although I really knew who they were in spirit. As I stood looking, a man came over to me, and then I noticed that he was the Lord. So, the Lord is coming in spirit to do this revival. Ain't that neat? Hallelujah. The Lord is coming. We have another revelation that was given to me. I asked the Lord, why is there so much spiritual resistance? This was a few years ago. And all the wicked coming against us with limited success in getting the word out to the multitudes. And I was led to flip my Bible open and stick my finger down without looking. And I got this right here, Luke 5 and 4. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. Oh, glory to God. We just got this text just a few days back. And the nets were breaking. And I got this back then. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat so that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed at all that were and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So the disciples worked in relative darkness, while Jesus, as a type of the man-child, wasn't in the boat. And they caught no fish, representing the coming revival. But then Jesus entered the boat and gave the word, and the catch was overwhelming. And I've said that we are building a platform for the man-child ministry and not us. Praise the Lord. So come on board, Lord. The fact that he gave me this verse says to me that we are almost at that point when we will be amazed at the multitude coming into the kingdom. Amen. Ain't God good? And going back to Charlie's revelation here, he said, The brethren were being taught how to minister to the needs of the people. I believe Brother David walked across the room to pray for a man who came for healing. And he stood before the man and said, Be healed. And the man was healed instantly. David turned and walked back to the other side of the room. Well, you know, God's power is made perfect in man's weakness so that no flesh can glory. Everybody's going to know this is a Jesus revival. Everybody that has any eyes to see, right? And Charlie said, The brethren, as well as myself, were amazed that the man was healed, and we started praising God and giving thanks. As in the time of Jesus, grace will come for instant miracles. Saints, it's a repetition. And as we rejoiced, another man came forward for healing, and I believe the man was blind. One of the brethren came forth and laid hands on the man's head, saying, Receive your sight. And the man cried out, I'm healed, I can see. Other people in the room who were in need came forth immediately, some with missing or deformed limbs, twisted bodies, crippled, all such of humanity that was so pitiful. They came up and every one of them were healed instantly. And I said, Oh, God. How is it that everyone was healed instantly so fast and so easily? Some had hands laid on them and others did not, but they were all healed. And the Lord smiled and said, You could not see. The Lord then opened my spiritual eyes and said, Now look. And he showed me again the part where David said to the man, Be healed. And this time I could see the words, Be healed, coming out of David's mouth like a mist and entering into the man. And the word went into the man. He was instantly healed. And I received a few scriptures that go with this dream. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Jeremiah 1:12. I watch over my word to perform it. Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed. Romans 10:8. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. And Charlie said, I was wondering about the mist that I saw, and I got John 6:63. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit, and they are life. So I understood, like Jesus spoke the word, and it came to pass, and so did these brethren operate on that level. Then there was a scene change, this time in a different, larger room. David and about 100 or more other brethren were gathered together. The brethren were being taught how to minister and were then sent forth. They went forth preaching the word and healing the sick everywhere. The brethren covered much of this area. You couldn't go anywhere without seeing these brethren. And then the scene quickly changed again, and we were at another place, outside. It was a large, grassy area with parking nearby, but I don't know where it was. Brother David and maybe as many as 500 brethren were gathered together, and crowds of people were coming from everywhere, and they were being drawn by the Lord. And it definitely was a holy move of God. So many saints were now coming together. Again, the scene changed quickly. And I was lifted up, looking down on the earth, and I saw the saints running through all the earth, spreading the gospel, and the light shining all over the earth. I think what I saw was a revival to prepare the saints to manifest sonship in the earth, to do the will of the Father. I also believe that this is a revival for the man-child, because every one of those scenes, David and the brethren were gathered, but they were being taught how to minister the word and heal the sick. And I noticed that everything was on a higher level than what we're used to now. They didn't spend a lot of time, a lot of words, when they prayed. They just commanded it, and it was immediately done. And when they gave the gospel, they didn't have to stand there for hours trying to nail a point down. It was just like the glory of the Lord fell. And when these brethren got around people out here on the streets to witness, the glory of the Lord was so strong that they just automatically fell down and cried, "Save me!" This was definitely a sign to us all that God's getting ready to do something wonderful here. And I'm just like my brethren and sisters here. I want to be part of it, because I know God's going to do a fantastic work here, and it's going to spread worldwide, because I saw the lights cover the whole earth. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I know it will. Amen. Well, you know, we're informed by the Lord in many more dreams and scriptures that there is coming a great revival here and across the country and world. And it will be in the midst of darkness and turmoil, and many will come out of darkness. Isaiah 60:1 says, "Arise and shine." Everybody's getting this text lately. Everybody's getting it. "Arise and shine." It's about the bride. "For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee." They're coming to the bride. My goodness, that's where the revival starts, folks. Let's go up to Zion. Who's Zion? The bride. "And thy son shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be carried in the arms. Then shalt thou see and be radiant. And thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, there's that sea of people again, shall be turned unto thee, and the wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. The things that are in the nations that are valuable. There's only one thing there that's valuable. The sons and daughters of God. And we have a part in this. The principalities and powers of darkness have been put under our feet, but we must fight the good fight of the faith and cast them down from over UBM and from and over this area and over the United States and over the world. You know, Luke 10 and 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So let's have fasting and prayer and praise meetings and confess our sins and cast down these powers. Let's decree freedom from bondage and darkness. And I received, before actually sharing this dream the first time, I received this text, Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon thy ways. And when they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And the humble person, he will save. He will deliver even him that is not innocent. Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. Neat, huh? Praise the Lord. Well, it has to be that way, saints, because you remember when Jesus came to the Jews and their stubbornness and their rebellion. He healed the sick, cast out devils, and taught them, and so on and so forth. And he just gave. It was grace. It was an outpouring of grace. Nobody deserved it. Like today, too. Nobody deserves it. But God's going to do it. Because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. So God's getting his people out. And another revelation that I received way back at the beginning when we started our website, a guy named Mark Ward helped me to set it up. And at that time, when he was working on it, to set it up, he had a dream. And in it, he saw himself going to his neighbor's yard with his casting rod to teach him how to catch fish. Mark was being taught how to catch fish at that time himself. And me too. And so he's going to teach his neighbor how to catch fish. And he demonstrated to his neighbor by casting out his line, but the line never hit the ground. Instead, it went out between the telephone wires into space. And he noticed that all the way down the line, there were many, many hooks. And as he waited, a fish the size of a man was caught on one of the hooks. Then a fish as big as the sky came and swallowed the first fish. And Mark asked me what I thought this meant. And I said that Jesus called us to catch men. You know, Matthew 4:19. And he said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Luke 5:10, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So fishing through the telephone lines and in space has to be fishing over the internet and wireless. And I told him that the Lord was confirming that the website we were building was going to be very successful for the kingdom in bringing in a great harvest. And the first fish that was the size of a man was to show that we were fishing for men. The second fish was to show that a great corporate body, he said a fish as big as the sky, came. It was to show that a great corporate body of men would be caught by us in this method. And it's clear from many dreams and visions that this, along with standard methods of evangelization through sending out many witnesses, as Jesus showed us, will bring a great revival through UBM and many other ministries that God's raising up. These are exciting days, saints. It's worth going through what we got to go through. Don't worry about the devil. You know, he's already failed because we've already won. Don't worry about the wicked. They've already failed too. Their only job is to gather unto themselves, bundle together, as Jesus said. They'll be bundled. And they're bundling. Don't worry about them. The revival is going to happen. And for as many people who give up their crown, there'll be quite a few stepping forward to pick it up. It's going to be awesome. I am so excited about this, you know. And it makes me know I've seen all the efforts of the devil to try to stop us from getting materials ready for this. God miraculously showed us to begin making the TV programs and so on and so forth. You know, that started back, I remember when Bob wanted me to start making TV programs, and I said, well, I can't waste any time here. I don't have time to go back down any roads that are dead ends, you know. And I said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I was listening. I wasn't casting down what he said or anything. I was listening. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to throw out a fleece and we'll disagree on it. And he said, well, go for it. And I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to start making these TV programs, send me a bunch of money right now. That's what I said, right now. Well, this was late at night. The next morning, I was called by a pro football player who began to ask me a lot of questions. And I said, well, what are you asking all these questions about for? He said, well, the Lord told me that he wanted me to give you $100,000. I said, great, I'll take it. And I shared with him, you know, what we had said just a few hours before. And that was just an amazing confirmation. Well, we've been making them, and we're probably going to make some more. In fact, I think even the man child's going to come and make some. Praise God. And anyway, those materials and a lot of others, teaching materials, audios and things, and books and so on and so forth, and this stuff is all being prepared. The Joseph's grain silos, as we got in one revelation or dream, that they represented Joseph's grain silos. Getting ready for the harvest. Getting ready to preserve the saints in the 7 years. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Oh, praise you, Father. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this revival. We want to see multitudes come into the kingdom, Father. Lord, we praise you. We praise you that it's a done deal. You've told us. You've sent us these parables. You've sent us dreams and visions and prophecies. And it's just going to be awesome, Lord, to see your people walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. You said that if we abide in you, we would walk in your steps. And so that's what we want to see, Lord. That's been my heart for many years, to see your people walking and doing the works that you once did when you walked this earth. You said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. And Lord, we thank you for that so much, that the greater works are coming forth now in these days. And we're excited about it, Lord. We're excited about it. Oh, praise your name. Lord, reach out and touch the souls of your people, Father. Reach out and touch them and meet their needs today, Lord, and cause them to make transitions here, to be prepared for what is coming. So many out there have got their mind in the world, and they don't understand that this is all passing away. The whole system is crumbling at your will, by the way. It's crumbling. And many don't know that, and many don't understand that, and they've got their hope on the things of the world. You know, they're going places where they think they'll be safe. They're going places where they think they can store up, and they're going, you know, and they're gathering. Some are gathering guns and bullets, and some are gathering food, and some are gathering, you know. But Lord, none of that is going to save your people. It's going to be a time of miracles, great miracles, Lord. That's going to save your people, exactly like your first people who went into the wilderness, a place where they would have starved to death. Had not you brought miracles out of heaven, a provision for them, Lord? And of course, I suspect, you know, that had not Pharaoh's army drowned in the sea, they probably wouldn't have chased them very far, because they'd figure them fools are all going to die out there anyway. But anyway, Lord, we thank you that your people don't have to worry about a thing. They just need to sow so that they can reap. And Lord, you know, like the rich young ruler, he just lacked one thing. And he needed to get rid of all that stuff and all that baggage that was holding him back from following the Savior and run after him. Lord, there's many out there today like that. You know, they're not stewards. They're owners. And they need to learn that what they have belongs to you. And then they need to learn to turn and ask you and desire of you wisdom of how to handle what belongs to you. And Lord, we just thank you for doing that. We're not going to tell them what to do with it. We're just going to tell them what your principles are so that they can seek you and you can tell them what to do with it. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you so much that your provision for these miracles and these fishers and the boats and everything, it's all in your hand and you have provided all. And it's your plan, Lord, because you love your people. Lord, they let your people know your love and your desire for them to walk in your fullness, Lord. We desire this so much, Father, in Jesus' name, to walk in your fullness, Lord, to see the needs of your people met out there, to see those who have been destroyed by the devil and his demons stand up and walk and be blessed and healed and delivered of their demons, and et cetera, et cetera. Lord, we desire to see this, Lord. And we're just praising you and thanking you for the end result, Lord. We see the end from the beginning, as you taught us. We call the things that be not as though they were. And we're thanking you for a mighty time of miracles, signs, and wonders, and the gospel going forth, and people being delivered of their stupidity and religion and everything like that, Lord. Oh, God, I know it's a mouthful. But you've prepared things exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, Lord. And that's what we're looking for. We can't imagine the great things you're going to do. And people, you folks out there, you've prayed for your families, you've prayed for your friends, you've prayed for your nation, you've prayed for your state and your city, etc., etc. Don't give up. Stand strong. Hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not. For he is faithful that promised. You just hold on. You keep on believing, because God's going to do this thing. You put it by faith into his hands. You know, you put it all on the altar. Put everything that's a distraction, everything that's a weight that so easily besets us, right? A weight. We don't need these weights. We've got to run a race. We got to stay in the furnace, as we shared in our last broadcast. Stay in the furnace. All that wood, hay, and stubble is just going to keep you from running this race. It's just going to keep you from being used of the Lord in the days to come. But take heart. If he doesn't use you, he'll use somebody else. You don't want that, do you? You want to be used yourself, don't you? Well, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you pour out your Spirit upon your people and enable and empower them, Lord, to run after you, to desire to give up the world and its ways and its things and its lusts and the vainglory of life, Lord. The vainglory of life. The puffed up people, Lord, that want to take positions in your body. How foolish. That's something that you have to do yourself, Lord. And you are coming to take care of that. So we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you for drawing us and causing us to run after you. Thank you for putting your humility in our hearts and blessing us with coming into agreement with your word. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? So thank you, Lord. We just receive that from you in Jesus' name. Amen.